It is good to be here today. We experienced this cathedral church for 5 months during the worst time in our life. And we found here, through your remarkable deed and through your extraordinary music program and through the warmth and welcome of this community, we found a sanctuary and a place of hope and comfort and strength. And I'm here today preaching not so much because I needed a place to preach. I'm retired. I kind of enjoy having Sundays to sit in the pew. I'm here to say thank you for who you are, for what you did for us, and for what you do for everyone who comes here who is in the place that we were in. God love you. Enough of that. We got some work to do with the gospel reading today. Barclay, in his wonderful book, which I'm sure you've all bought, and if you haven't, you still have copies, right? Bookstore still has copies. You can get some. Barclay makes a comment that if we take Scripture out of context, we're going to get it wrong. When we take Scripture out of context, it becomes hard to understand what the meaning is, and we start to kind of spin it in funny ways. And there is no passage where that is more true than our gospel reading today. When we start to read about blood being spilled in the temple and walls of the temple falling down on people, it's like, what is that about? You got to put it in context. And I want to suggest to you that what we have to do is we have to go back in time in terms of the history of the people of Israel. And we have to go back and understand that for the people of Israel, the defining story, the defining narrative is the story of the exodus from captivity in Egypt. The story of that exodus and of the God who is at the center of that narrative. The God who redeemed them, who set them free, who sustained them while they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. I have a hunch that they were in the wilderness for 40 years because Moses was a man and didn't ask for directions. It's just a hunch. And that God, while they were in the wilderness, chose them, called them to be God's chosen people, not for privilege, not for power, not for prestige, but to live a Torah relationship with their God and with their neighbor. To live caring for the widow and the orphan and the alien. To live justice and mercy so that the nations from east and west and north and south could come and see the glory of God revealed and God's broken world would be healed. That's why they were God's chosen people. And that's why Moses said to them, remember, 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 love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Write it on your foreheads. Wear it upon your wrists. Talk to your children about it in the morning. Talk to them before you go to bed at night. Remember, remember, remember. And remember that you were once slaves in Egypt, and don't ever let anyone else live like that again. If we don't understand that story, we cannot understand today's gospel. And the other story we have to understand, the second defining story for the people of Israel, is the story of the people of Israel in captivity in Babylon. The city had been destroyed. The temple was destroyed. The people were taken prisoner and carted off to Babylon, where for years they lived in captivity. They lived in exile as slaves. And in the book of Isaiah, for 15 chapters, chapter 40 to 55, Isaiah is saying to them, listen, you kind of got what you deserved, but you got to understand that your God is present. Your God is active. And you're going home. You are going home to rebuild the city, to rebuild the temple, to rebuild the nation. You are going home to be the people God called you to be a beacon of hope and a locus of healing. Problem is, people didn't exactly believe that was going to happen. A long time living in exile can do that. Caught up in depression, in resignation, for many of them, they had just become accommodated to living in captivity, and they weren't buying what Isaiah had to say. And so today in the reading, he gives it his final pitch, and he says, oh, anybody who's listening, if you are hungry for a better life, if you are thirsty for freedom, come to me. I will give you food. I will give you wine. I will give you a banquet for free. And what he was saying to him is, folks, it's time to choose. You can choose the new life God is offering you, or you can choose exploitation under the Babylonian oppressors. You can choose to trust in God's fidelity, or you can choose death. You can choose liberty and justice and forgiveness and peace, or you can choose death. And when he says, seek the Lord while he's found, call upon him while he is near, what he's saying is not these are great lines to open a choral even song with. What he's saying is, folks, this is your time. There is a narrow window of opportunity. This is your time. This is your day. This is your moment to get it right. But you have to choose. You have to choose. Flash forward to Jesus walking in the face of the earth. And understand that in Jesus' day, Israel was under yet another domination system. They were under the thumb of the Roman Empire, suffering from political, military, and economic oppression. Darkness and death stalked the land. And the people of Israel, it was for them as if the exile in Babylon was still going on. And they waited for and prayed for a third exodus to happen. And Jesus came and said, listen, I'm going to read it for you just because these are important words to understand today's reading. You know these words. Jesus went into the synagogue in the town where he was raised, and he opened up the scroll of the prophet Isaiah, coincidentally the prophet we heard from today, and he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. He was saying to them, this day, in your presence, God's promises, they're coming true. God is present. God is active. And God is going to set you free. And he embarked on a ministry which was the creation of and the embodiment of a movement, a kingdom movement, which was a nonviolent revolution against the power of Rome and against a religious institution in collusion with Rome. I'm sorry I used that word. No. I realize it has different meaning down here than it does up north. But there's no better word to use in terms of what was going on in Jesus' day. It was not fake news. There was collusion. There was no question about it. And Jesus, in the reading today, he has been preaching the kingdom. He has been calling people to move on to a new way of life, a new way of living. And in the reading today, when they're talking about bad things going on in Jerusalem, and they're on the way there, they're talking about people being killed, and they're talking about the possibility of the place coming tumbling down. Jesus calls them to repentance. And what he's saying to them is, listen, this is your moment. This is your time. This is your opportunity to get it right. But you got to choose, and you got to repent. You got to repent of all the attitudes and all the behaviors that are preventing you from being a kingdom people. You got to repent of those things which have you living in accommodation with the oppressors. And you have to repent of any foolish notions you might have of launching a military revolution against Rome, because that will only lead to suffering and death. And understand that the readers, the first readers of Luke's gospel, they had witnessed the destruction of the temple, and they had witnessed the butchery that occurred in the war between Israel and Rome. They got it. It was their time, their moment. They had to choose. And see, I believe that Easter Sunday, that first Easter, when Jesus rose from the dead, I think there were a couple of messages for the world, if the world was ready to hear it. The first message was, death is not the end. Life is. And the second message, and in my mind, I hear the risen Lord screaming it out for all to hear, saying, this is God's world, not Caesar's. It's God's world, not Caesar's. But you got to choose. Okay, so what's that got to do with us? I got to tell you, we live in a world which is bruised and battle-scarred. We live in a world where there is much pain, where there is much oppression. We live in a world where I don't care what country you live in, Caesar is doing pretty well. Doing pretty well. There are two kingdoms. There are two kingdoms out there. There always have been. The kingdom of God and the kingdom of Caesar. Okay, so what if today, on this third Sunday in Lent, our God is saying to us, wherever we might be, I am present. I am active. I'm going to set you free. But you got to choose the kingdom of God or the kingdom of Caesar. Liberty, justice, and grace, and mercy, or oppression. Choose life, choose death. What's it going to be? This is God's world, not Caesar's. 1988, and I'm just about done. For that, you can say thank you, Jesus. In 1988, the Lambeth Conference made the statement that the Anglican Church worldwide had become an institution. See, Jesus started a movement, started a revolution. We turned it into an institution. And they said in the Lambeth Conference that the church needed to become a movement again. And so they created the Marks of Mission. You've probably heard about them. They said that the reason the Anglican Church exists is first and foremost to teach, to baptize, and nurture new members, not just so we can have more bodies in the pews, but so that we can build a movement for the kingdom of God. That we exist to proclaim the good news of the kingdom. We exist to respond with loving care wherever we see human need. We exist to call out, to stand against unjust structures wherever we see them. And we exist to care for God's planet and renew the face of the earth. That's what it means to be a kingdom movement. We need to choose the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Caesar. What will it be? And lest you think that I'm kind of making all this stuff up, every time there's a baptism in this church, there are certain questions that are asked, and they're kingdom questions. And we respond with great enthusiasm. And the question is, are we going to take our response seriously? So today, as a visiting bishop, I got no right to do this, but I'm retired and I can't get fired. I'm going to ask you some questions. And you know the answer. I will, with God's help. And I want you to respond as if the future of the world depends on it. Because, my sisters and brothers in Christ, I believe it does. I believe it does. And so I ask you, will you continue in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in the prayers?
We will.
whenever you mess up, this is Canadian style, whenever you mess up, will you repent? Will you turn away from the things that prevent you from being kingdom people and return to the Lord? Will you look for the face of Jesus in all people, especially the ones you don't like? In all that you are, in all that you say, in all that you do, will you proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ? Will you strive for justice and peace and respect the dignity of every human being? Then let all God's children say, amen.
Amen.
Oh, no, that sounded Anglican. Let all God's children say, amen.
Amen.
Let all God's children say, amen.
Amen.
All right.